Well, in this half, we'll tweet-splain with Brad Williams. Also, we'll do some news. And Ari Shaffir will show up to crack wise. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, El Paso, Texas. Customs and Border Protection stopped a woman hiding contraband under a blanket in her SUV as she tried to cross the Texas border from Mexico. The contraband items were 50 wheels of cheese. Definitely not a Jew.
All right. Well, Ari Shaffir is going to join us in a couple of few. We have Brad Williams hanging out.
Definitely not a Jew.
And we have his tweet explaining, which we've played with Brad here before. So, Brad, do you want to cue that up?
It's time to tweet explain. It's not really a game. It's just where we ask you to explain your tweet. Tweet-splain.
All right, so the tweet from Brad Williams is, my top five banger sandwiches.
Okay. Mm.
Five, ham and cheese. Four, peanut butter banana. Mm-hmm. Three, tuna. Two, fried bologna. And one, grilled cheese.
You damn right.
Oh, tweets Brad.
Me. What do you mean, oh, Brad?
No, I'm fried bologna is so often overlooked and spat upon and judged.
Yes.
And it's goddamn delicious. And anyone who grew up even remotely with, what do they call it, food insecurities, knows from fried bologna.
Well, and it's funny you say that because I actually made this list. I quote tweeted my friend who's a rapper. His name is Jelly Roll, and he's a very large a white rapper from the South. And he was talking about how I don't care how much money I ever make, fried bologna sandwich will always make me happy. So I was like, yeah, banger sandwiches.
But you grew up out here, not in the South. So I never had a fried bologna sandwich because we're sort of from North Hollywood.
Well, like it was processed. You wouldn't have had it anymore.
You didn't get it. Well, my dad got into bologna later.
Fried bologna with mustard is fantastic.
Done.
All right. Well, let's break it down.
Melted American Kraft cheese on it. Come on. See, my mom is from Savannah, Georgia, and she made up some fried bologna sandwiches quite often for lunch.
My daughter announced that she wanted grilled cheese over the weekend and tomato soup.
Oh, delish.
And
school special, yeah.
Combo.
I made her both. I'm not great, but this was a pretty killer sandwich. And the way to never fuck up a grilled cheese sandwich is put a ton of butter in the pan.
Sure, of course.
And it is the spackle of accoutrements.
Yeah.
It will cover any mistake you make as a chef.
Yeah, a bad grilled cheese sandwich is still damn good.
Because it's dripping in butter
on both
sides.
Exactly.
And to take it a step further, you know what my husband does? Because he makes these crazy grilled cheese sandwiches. He'll sprinkle a little shredded cheddar on the outside and then fucking just press down on that sandwich. So you got that crisp cheese on the outside.
Do you want me to change your life?
Yeah.
All right. On the crust, you take hot Cheeto dust. Flaming hot Cheeto dust. You think I'm lying. You think I'm lying.
God.
Put it on the crust. Put the butter in there. Fry it up. My God, man.
Not since I've heard of people putting Cool Ranch Doritos in a pepper mill and grinding that onto their shit.
Yes!
This is why the terrorists hate us.
I love this, like, making fast food and trashy food, like, fancy. Like, is this a fresh ground pepper? Well, kind of. It's Doritos.
It's ground.
So ham and cheese, number five.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with that. Is it grilled?
You could have either or.
I like it sort of in the press.
Yeah.
Like a panini?
Yeah, like I like it that way. Peanut butter and banana, hard to argue with.
But whoever eats it?
Nobody.
But every time you do, it's like your fish and chips argument. Every time I have a peanut butter banana sandwich, I'm like, why don't I do this all the time?
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's smooth peanut butter, creamy.
Yeah, and then sometimes I put a little drizzle of honey in there, too.
Yeah, there's tuna, straight away tuna. What's on the tuna sandwich?
For me, I'm plain, man. You do a little tuna, a little mayonnaise, that's it. That's all I need.
Can I tell you one thing that does not belong on a tuna sandwich, and it's beloved as it should be, but if you put it on tuna, you're fucking disgusting? A slice of cheese. Cheese does not belong on tuna fish sandwiches.
Yeah, you're right.
I agree. And I hate celery. Tuna people put celery in their tuna. Mm. I hate this. What? Why? What does it add?
Potato chip
for crunchy. Put it in there, too.
Okay.
Take celery out. What's wrong with you people?
The aforementioned fried bologna and then the straight-ahead grilled cheese. Now, does the grilled cheese have to be American cheese?
No. I've had white cheddar.
Gruyere.
Does it need to be on white bread?
I've had some good grilled
sourdough.
Cheese. Yeah,
I did favorite. Sourdough for my
that's the best
daughter.
One.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but these are all sandwiches where if ever you're like, oh, what do I serve for lunch? Kids have friends coming over. What do I make up really fast? Always good.
Yeah,
always
this
good.
This is the go-to list.
I'll tell you what's missing for me.
Okay,
is my beloved egg salad. I never have an egg salad sandwich. Mm-hmm. It's not really available anywhere if you go to a sandwich place.
Yeah.
But when I go to a deli, I do love an egg salad sandwich.
Yeah.
It smells farty.
I've never been able to get on board with egg salad.
It's unruly. It is. Well, it
can't be tamed.
Yeah. No. it's like the sea. It's a mistress that can never be tamed.
That's I think my problem with the egg salad sandwich is, for me personally, there's such a chasm between an egg salad sandwich that's going to knock your socks off, but then I've had egg salad sandwiches that are like, well, I'm going to be on a toilet for the next 4 days.
Well, all other sandwiches hold together.
Yeah.
So there's an element of a sandwich. There's a utilitarian element of a sandwich. A grilled cheese, you could successfully eat a grilled cheese sandwich being chased by a Kodiak bear.
With one hand.
An experience would be the same as sitting on your sofa.
Yes, you'd be like, well, if I'm about to go, this is pretty good.
Yeah, or maybe I can entice this bear with what's left
of it. Throw it.
You could run it a full sprint through a Navy obstacle course with a grilled cheese and consume it.
Yes.
And you can, you know, peanut butter and bananas, a little more to negotiate. Peanut butter and jelly, you could do the same thing.
Sure.
Ham and cheese, you could basically pull off. Tuna, kind of a two-hander.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
The egg salad sandwich, you literally have to go down to Home Depot and hire a guy to help you eat that sandwich. Because you grab it, it falls out of the back. Yeah. You end up I love egg salad, but I will say this. If you are bringing a fork with you to eat a sandwich, you may have flown in the face of the notion of a sandwich.
Of it being a sandwich.
Absolutely.
Although you're right. Yes. And it wouldn't be as good with egg salad, but you know, it was big in the grad house growing up. Mm. Everything was a pocket pita.
Mm.
That's what the kids got.
I have had the pocket pita egg salad.
How was it?
It's good.
Okay.
It's darn good. And if you go into the mentions of that tweet, I can't bring up anything specific, but there's way too many people that were like, oh, you don't like a focaccia bread with some apples and some balsamic? I'm like, that's not the point.
Not the point.
Mm-hmm. It's banger sandwiches.
Yeah.
Yes, you can have some highfalutin.
We get brie and pear. We get it.
Okay. I'm sure it's great. It is. These are ones that are all, they're tried and true, always good. No one complains. That's the list.
They ain't broken. All right. Next tweet, if we have Brad to tweet-splain here.
I'll tweet.
Not the result we wanted. But thank you at 5280 Miles and John Elway for giving me an amazing bucket list day with the Broncos.
What?
Yeah. For those of you who are unfamiliar, I'm a lifelong diehard Denver Broncos fan. Yeah, I know. The year sucks. Broncos country, let's hide. Okay? That's the slogan. 5280 Miles is the mascot who is a fan of mine, and John Elway. You may have remembered him. He did a few things for the Denver Broncos. They invited me out to a game. I went to the Broncos against the Jets. Gave me a suite to watch the game.
Wow.
On field passes. Got to go sort of in the bowels of the stadium before the game, posed with the three Super Bowl trophies, and
wow.
then got to be in the tunnel while the players were coming out. The quarterback that day, Brett Rippon, actually gave me a fist bump. If you watch that video, he then proceeded to lose the game. But that's not the point.
Russell Wilson wasn't starting that game.
Yeah, he was hurt that
and
day.
And Rippon's the son of Mark Rippon?
Yeah, from the, I don't know what you call him now, Commanders, football team. They were the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
There's Rippon. Comes over.
Yeah.
Daps me up all right. But yeah. And I, like I said, lifelong Broncos fan. So for me, this day was just absolutely incredible.
What's the Broncos connection for you?
My dad went to Stanford, and he wanted me to support a Stanford-led NFL team.
Specific.
And that gave us John Elway with the Broncos, because Elway went to Stanford, or Jim Plunkett with the Raiders. And because I don't have face tattoos or priors, I was a Denver Broncos fan. And once your team is your team, that's your team.
And does John Elway know?
Oh, about my daughter?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'll say that on this show. I named my daughter Elway. I'm like, oh, are you really a fan? Yeah.
Are, yeah. Double down.
Yeah. My daughter Elway, if we have a future kid, it's going to be Terrell Davis Williams. This is going to be
from Sex. That's where Sex in the City's Carrie Bradshaw got her name.
What? Oh, Terry. Okay.
Good. Even I got that.
Took me a second. But yeah, it was a great day. Great day with the Broncos.
So you grew up in Orange County,
yeah.
cheering the Broncos and eating yes. fried bologna sandwiches.
Yes. I am an enigma wrapped in a mystery wrapped in a bologna sandwich.
Didn't
right.
get picked on enough just being 3 foot nothing. You had to up the ante.
I wanted to give them options. I didn't just want to hear the same dwarf jokes every day.
Right.
I'm like, all right, I eat fried bologna sandwiches. I'm a Denver Broncos fan, and when I was growing up, I had a stutter.
Yeah. They called him Pony Keg Man, which is a deep cut and a reference to Barrel Man.
Oh, that wow.
is.
Well done.
That
guy walked around that stadium in a barrel.
Oh, that was real?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Bronco
with, like, the
super
suspender
fan. Barrel
suspended
man.
Barrel. Yeah. Barrel and cowboy boots.
Wouldn't
and
matter if it was 15 degrees out there and windy in the mile high air. He was nothing but a barrel.
So what is the mascot for the Broncos?
Miles, because they're a mile high city.
And,
so
oh,
they are,
look at
oh,
that.
There's Barrel Man.
That's a specimen right there.
There
yeah.
you go.
And I mean, that I figured the barrel covered the nipples. The
no,
barrel doesn't
no.
even cover the belly button.
No. So all I'm saying, ladies in Denver, you want a Halloween costume next year? Sexy Barrel Man. Bust it out.
Gina.
Yeah.
Slutty Barrel Man. Make it happen.
In terms of mates.
Yeah.
Guy who sits on the sofa really doing nothing all day long. Has some idea about writing a novel, but never gets to it.
Dated a dozen of them.
He's just a barnacle on your sofa.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Or Barrel Man. You know what I mean? I mean, he's nuts, you know, but everyone in the neighborhood, kind of local celebrity. You're going to get sucked into it, too, because he's going to help you. You know, you need to sew a suspender every once in a while or spray a logo on the side of the barrel. Like,
by the way, he has to have income coming in. He's got season tickets every year.
Season tickets.
That's so, a really good
you guys
question.
Probably are getting, like, RVs comped for the
right,
weekend
right.
during the off season mm-hmm. because Barrel Man went in there. And
everyone wants to take pictures with him eating your chili.
This right. is interesting because my initial response was, I'll take the barnacle. I don't want to mess with this fakakta Barrel Man. But you make a compelling argument, and I like that he's passionate about something.
Mm-hmm.
I like that he has a hobby. He has a thing. And like you said, if he's a season ticket holder, we're not poor.
All right.
Right.
Fireman Ed from the Jets. Gina's got you. Come on. Slide into those DMs, Fireman Ed.
Fireman Ed just puts on a fire hat, though.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of commitment.
But they're not really affiliated with the team, right?
Well, not initially, but if you hang around long enough,
you will
start to become affiliated.
Yeah,
okay.
I know Hawkman, I think it's Hawkman with the Seattle Seahawks. He kind of gets his stuff comp now. The Clippers tried to kick out Clipper Darryl.
Oh.
And then I think he got back in there. But yeah.
What happened?
I have no idea. I can't speak to it, but I remember there was a trending thing on Twitter one day where it was like, Clipper Darrell was saying he wasn't allowed to the stadium or season tickets were revoked or something like that. But,
and then,
can be affiliated with the team.
Then there was the guy with the Carolina Panthers. It was just a huge black man who had the Mr. Heat Miser wig. Do you remember him?
That's not real.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if he's still doing it, but if you go back, Carolina Panthers, you know, number one fan, you know, circa 2008 or 5 or something, you're going to see a big brother with a Heat Miser wig on. And I don't even know what he called himself.
Wow.
Troll doll.
That's Catman.
Catman.
Catman. And Surfer.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, and in his little shoulder pads, he has two dead cats.
Yeah. Yeah. Endangered species as well. You know, be curious, Chris, who around the league, like the Rams used to have the watermelon heads, but culturally that became, you know.
Can't do that.
Third rail.
Problematic.
Yes, problematic.
Mm-hmm.
There was the, for many years, the Dallas Cowboys had another big brother who just dressed in full, not Dallas Cowboy regalia, but sort of blue and white, you know, chaps and the vest.
Oh, like
kind
that.
Kind of a sheriff.
Sure.
And he was the guy. There was then another big brother who was the Washington Redskins at the time with the big headdress on.
Yeah.
Who did, and I will say this about those guys.
And they had the hogs too.
They had the hogs as well.
Grown large men wearing dresses and pig snouts.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Are you talking about porkies? What are we doing?
There were men, huge men, dressed as women.
Yeah.
Okay.
And who had...
There's the hogs.
Oh, my God. And why is this?
Because the offensive line...
They're the hogettes, it says.
The offensive line for the Washington Redskins and the early 80s, late 70s were called the Hogs.
Oh.
So they dressed as Hogs.
I
don't know when the dresses came in. I don't know if they were all just huge Eddie Izzard fans.
It's very Some Like It Home.
Very, very progressive. I don't know. But
wow.
Yeah, they identify as Oink.
So you guys really know. I mean, they're in the zeitgeist enough that you're just rattling off these people.
Well, because also every broadcast of that team, they show that fan. They always cut to the Raiders fan. Right. That's the Darth Vader.
The and Juggalo. The,
yeah, they always cut to those fans.
Oh, sorry. Breaking news. I just asked my husband if he remembers the Panthers guy because that's where he's from. He said he died in 2019. Very sad.
Doing what he loved.
Yeah. Is there anyone for the Chiefs? There has to be.
It's like, problematic.
Yeah.
You can't show them.
They had the guy in the headdress and stuff, but
the tomahawk chop.
But the headdress guy was more of a Washington Redskins guy. I don't remember what the Chiefs had. The barrel man was a mechanic for United Airlines. He could have comped you some tickets.
There you go. That would have been great.
I already chose him, so this is great.
Yeah. And that because I know Denver is a hub for United Airlines, so that makes a lot of sense.
What does that say?
Oh, this is X Factor. He's the Chiefs super fan.
Yeah.
Guinness World Record for most hours of football watched in one go. He sat through 70 straight hours of NFL on TV.
What?
Look, do you want to do the segment where we're at a dinner party and you have to brag about your son?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Also, look, maybe I'm spitting in my own mirror here, but. You know, all right, Guinness Book of World Records podcast leader Adam Carolla here saying, we don't need a record for everything. You passing out on a sofa and forgetting to shut the TV set does not mean you're a record center.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's save that for fingernails or how many nickels you can snatch off your elbow when you pile it up 22 high. Things that take dexterity and skill.
Yeah.
Something.
You just hanging around watching the NFL Network and not
doesn't?
Having a job to go to on Monday.
Not impressive.
Does not a record make.
See, the only objection I have to that, and I'm in Brian's space, so this is where I will shit on your point, is does it make a good photo op? Because the fat twins... that were in every Guinness Book World Record.
On the Honda Trail
but,
bikes.
Right, but they were on those bikes, made a great photo.
Yes.
So they didn't really accomplish anything
Iconic.
By being the world's fattest twins, but they took a great photo. If
this guy
can take a great photo, I'm in.
He just looks like an extra from Idiocracy.
Yeah.
He actually has an agent, and you can book him for your events.
Jesus. You know what? Then God bless. And God
I'm sure he's on Cameo, too.
All right.
Get him to wish your friend happy
birthday.
We got
another Brad tweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good response. Enthusiastic.
Couldn't have never foreseen this one coming.
I know. Oh, sorry.
Wow.
Loxy, I don't know what I did.
Brad.
I mean,
I deserve it. It's fine.
Good stuff.
Brad says, RIP Gallagher. There's a lot you can make fun of him for. The Gallagher 2 story, Sledge-O-Matic, run for the governor. But if you take away the hammer, he was one of the most original, intelligent voices in comedy. Specials were legendary. I only met him once. Something else.
There's a second tweet. Yep.
He came backstage. It was strange to me. I was backstage at a comedy club, and the club owner told me Gallagher was in the audience. Not to do time, not to make a show, just to see comedy. It was strange doing a show for a comedy icon sitting front row. But he came backstage afterwards. We had a nice talk. RIP lit legend.
Literally just came to see Brad perform.
Yeah.
Where was this?
I've had so many instances at this club. I don't know if it's still around. It's Crackers in Indianapolis.
Hmm.
That's a real club. And this is the same club. It made an appearance in one of my specials where I told the story about I got to the green room one time and there was a dwarf in the green room and he said, "Hey, Brad." And I was like, "Oh, hey, what's up? What's your name? What are you doing?" And he goes, "Oh, I just walked in the front door, and then they just escorted me back here to the green room."
Oh,
so they thought, it's another, there can't be two.
Yeah.
So, but what happened was I was backstage at Crackers, and the manager came to me and said, "Hey, Gallagher's here." And normally when you hear that stuff, you're like, "Oh, so he wants to do a guest spot. He's in town. He wants to get some time. Cool." And he goes, "No."
What year is this?
This is 2012.
Mm-hmm.
2013. And then he's just in the audience and he sat very close. And with that hair, it's kind of hard to miss him.
Right.
So I was just doing my show while Gallagher is just staring up at me like, does he want me to, like, do I do a tribute? Like, I can't do the whole watermelon thing, but I can jump on something and smash it. Like do I do Turnabout is Fair Play? And then at the end of the night, I do the free meet and greets and he waits in line. He waits all the way. He comes up to me and I'm like, "Hey, what, Gallagher? Hi, like, what are you doing?" He goes, "Oh, my wife's a fan of yours, so we just came out here to see a comedy show. She wants to take a photo with you and stuff." It was just very surreal, but nice guy. And
he got caught up like Charo did.
Mm. Mm.
Charo became a caricature. And she'd hack everyone's name up and mispronounce all the idioms and the sayings and everything. But then she would sit down and play flamenco guitar.
Incredibly.
Blow you away.
Incredible, right. Yeah. And so Gallagher got all associated with the Sledge-O-Matic, but he was a very funny stand-up.
His bit, I don't know if you can find it, guys, his bit on the English language, that bit alone is like so intelligent.
Is that the one with the flip cards?
I'm not sure. It's like he starts talking about how poem POEM, gnome is GNOME.
You're right.
And
that's a great one.
It's an incredible bit. And you really kind of get lost about his joke writing ability when you just think, oh, he's the guy that smashes watermelons and occasionally has heart attacks on stage.
Yeah, he was a very smart comedian and he was a kind of wordsmith.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And in a world where people are kind of, comedians can be lazy sometimes.
I know. Some just like rely on tropes like, "We get it. You're little.
You're short.
You're short. Right. Tell us something else.
Don't want to write a joke, so you write a word on a ping pong ball and takes it from the audience." Well, the landscape is littered
zero show
with
prep.
Lazy comedians. He was a wordsmith up there.
Yeah. You can tell.
He's one of those people that, like, Had we ever, well, maybe we did every once in a while, but had we ever really talked about the majesty of Gallagher before he died? Like, these are people that it's hard to remember what they do until they come back up for some tragedy.
And his crazy kind of, and his look and his mannerism, they just sort of, it was almost.
That mime thing going on.
It was almost like he was battling against his brilliance.
Yeah.
And it's a little of that, you know, we got a little modern version with like a little Kanye West, like you're out there fighting against
mental illness.
No, he guys don't know where I'm going here.
Not yet. No.
All right, when I say Kanye West, what do you think of?
Jews?
Well, I
think
someone that some people think is brilliant and others
a troubled genius.
Many more people think what when I go Kanye West?
Genius.
Okay.
Brian, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
I said Gallagher was fighting against his genius with all this other crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
I think of
Kanye West.
He,
Brad.
I mean, he's batshit insane, and he married a Kardashian. But,
on
top of all that, he was a brilliant producer. And
But if I'm going to ask you 8 years ago, Kanye West.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
You just go, all right. Chris.
Sorry.
If I asked you Kanye West 10 years ago, what would you have said?
I'm sitting in the Bald Brian chair.
Yes.
This is what happens.
He doesn't know. Okay, I'll answer my own question.
Thank you.
Kanye West, nut job. Kanye West 8 years ago, genius.
Got it.
That's what I'm saying. He's created a narrative that is not helping his legacy.
Right.
Got it.
Now I see what you're saying.
The table with Gallagher, which is, we all discussed, he was a wordsmith and a genius, but his hair was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He said crazy shit and he smacked things with a sledgehammer.
And
that's how we know him.
And
crazy prop comic.
Yeah. And the
Not wordsmith, not Gallagher, the
Gallagher 2 story, for those of you who don't know, is just insane.
We talked about it the other day, his brother.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't know all the nuts and the bolts of it.
I mean, neither do I. I just know, like, the brass tacks of it. But just the fact that, people would buy a ticket because they would see, Gallagher 2, and then it wouldn't be him.
And Gallagher said, you can have the act on one condition, that there is no mix-up of which Gallagher is on stage. He said, you got it, boss. And there was no way to tell.
But if you use the name, it's impossible not to. All right, Ari Shaffir going to show up, or are we just going to soldier on, do some news?
He is supposed to show up, but they're checking on him right now.
He had a great special.
That's why I didn't know that. I knew you were going for genius. I promise. I was on the phone.
He's damaged. He's damaged.
Damn it, Brad,
his own stock is all I'm saying. All right.
We got plenty of news if that's what you want.
Good. That's what we'll do. Now let me give you a word about a new podcast, No Mercy.
What's up, everybody? I'm hosting a new podcast, No Mercy, with Stephen A. Smith. That's No, spelled K-N-O-W, Mercy. Listen as I pull back the curtain on all things beyond the world of sports. My No Mercy podcast will be 3 new episodes every week, making this podcast a great one to add to your weekly routine. On No Mercy, I'll be interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. I'll be sharing my thoughts on social issues, politics, and beyond. The goal is to keep an open dialogue, of course. I want to spark your curiosity and give you answers from a different perspective. You know me. I'll give you my unbiased opinion on breaking news and entertainment stories that'll leave you motivated and informed. Don't worry. I'll always offer my comments about what's going on in the sports world, too. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. A presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We got news from every Ari Shaffir, but, you know, we got Brad Williams, so we don't need Ari Shaffir. And we'll do that right after this.
January 20th and 21st, the Adam Carolla crew is coming to Dallas, Texas.
If you've been on the cruise, look at this as a land yacht.
Working blue.
And what is the equivalent of a drunken cruise on land? Dallas, Texas.
That's right.
That's right.
With Adam Carolla and John Popper. 2 days, tons of fun.
Live pod, I'll do stand-up, and we're going to do a screening of the K-Rock doc. John's going to do musical performances.
Oh, hell yeah.
If I'm doing my job, it's yours all that breaks. Because the
tickets for the package include hotel rooms, tickets to a live Adam Carolla show, brunch with John and Adam, a VIP meet and greet, a special screening of the K-Rock documentary.
And no seasickness.
No seasickness.
Probably some vomiting, but
yeah,
not a lot.
But it's your fault.
And of course, the big event on Saturday night, Adam Carolla and John Popper at Dallas Echo Music Hall.
Sounds really pretty. Beautiful place.
Working Blue with Adam Carolla and John Popper. Get your tickets now at AdamCarolla.com.
Hot lights across his face. They told him he was just a disgrace.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Beat news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
So I decided to bump this to the top, and it's literally a series of screenshots that I'm going to read to you, and I promise there's a reason. Okay. There is this great account on Instagram called House and Habit, and the woman that does that follows all the big news stories, you know, Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, or Weinstein, Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, she's on it. Mm-hmm. And she is sitting in the courtroom currently with the Weinstein trial.
Mm-hmm.
And she had so much to say about Jennifer Siebel Newsom taking mm-hmm. the stand.
Yeah.
I really wanted to read this to you.
She's the first partner.
The first partner of California.
I don't
California.
Think we can even say lady. We have to say partner
she
now.
She doesn't say it.
Because we don't have other problems in California.
That's right.
Sure. We're down to this.
And you know, when you're reporting, you give the facts. But, you know, sometimes when you're reporting through an Instagram account, you could give it a little bit of flavor. She did start all of it by saying basically how much she hates the Newsoms. But she said, so far, she's just like Amber Heard's understudy. Says, first off, the entire court hallway has to walk 50 feet back to the other end of the hallway. We all line up and then back up to the opposite end like children whenever she passes by. Every reporter is forced to leave their laptop or conversation to part the sea for Ms. Newsom to enter the courtroom. We're all cursing her silently under our breath because it's causing such a scene. It's the most absurd thing I've ever witnessed in a courthouse. So every time she comes in, everyone has to get up and like move aside. I don't know if it's a security thing.
Yeah, I wonder
normally
why.
Normally that's just reserved for the judge.
That, right. Thank you.
All rise. That's
she,
it.
She goes on to say she comes armed with support, too, naturally. 18-plus women, some are Cosby victims, trail her like a queen as she enters the courtroom. This leaves hardly any room for reporters. But all of the major mainstream media is oddly here today, which means they were tipped off or telepathic. Prior to this, big media is rather scarce in the courtroom daily. No Newsom is going to greet an empty audience.
Mm.
On the stand, she sits with a victim relief guide. She's shockingly scattered and rambling when she speaks.
What's a victim relief guide?
I've never heard of that in my life.
Mm.
So, I don't know, Chris, if you could look that up real quick. I'm going to continue reading. She sounds way younger than she is.
Uh-oh, little girl voice.
She has a Valley Girl dialect and answers sometimes with, totally. She goes from hysterical fits of tearless crying to completely composed recounts of her career motives. At one point, she does a little shimmy when she admits to being nervous, but is sobbing when she's forced to point out and identify Harvey in the courtroom. She reminds me so much of Amber Heard, over-the-top hand gestures and forced crying that dissolves instantly with each question. She's actually uncomfortable to watch. I see Weinstein's two female attorneys connect with the slightest eye roll when she says she sometimes, unfortunately, ran into him at events. Her answers are long and rambling. They go nowhere and answer nothing. At one point, she cries out loud that...
Well, that's... You know, probably what drew Gavin to her initially.
To like, hey, pod.
What do you like talking about? Nothing.
Oh.
But like nothing, just thing. Zip it. No, nothing in a circle.
Yeah.
I like circle I nothing talk.
I love the sound of my own voice.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's hearts and stars from that.
Oh, that's what drew them together.
This is
nothing
the last,
circle yes. talkers.
This is the last paragraph. At one point, she cries out loud that Harvey knew I was an empath.
Really?
It's like watching...
I don't think he knew what an empath was. I barely knew.
It's like watching an outdated soap opera court scene. The judge, slightly swooning in a mask above, clearly loves her because she's allowed to expand on these senseless tangents without any of the strict redirects and interruptions we've typically seen. Nearly all of the defense objections are overruled.
Mm.
Well, talk about painting a picture.
Gotta know where his bread is buttered. And then... Because if the judge is super shitty to the wife or the governor, that's going to be tough on the career.
Yeah. And this is so crazy that she would even be involved in this because we've all been on the women's side so far. We're all team victims. And then Jennifer comes up and parades like a queen.
What is the story? And Chris can look for it. There is a story about her trying to enlist Weinstein.
For her documentary, right?
No, this was for something else. She went to, okay. Gavin Newsom was fucking his partner's wife. Oh. And it was not good news for Gavin Newsom, who was fucking his partner's wife because he's a delight. Fucking sociopath piece of shit that you retards in California voted in overwhelmingly because you're fucking idiots. And by the way, you guys get fucking played like a fucking three-string ukulele, you fucking pussies. This guy shows up the fucking Brill Cream and you go, that guy knows what he's doing. No, he's a sociopath. But all right, he fucking schooled all you retards and fine, you voted for him. But he fucks his friend's wife. And then she, his first partner, goes to Weinstein and says, hey, you know a lot about this shit. We'd like this to go away. So how does this work?
Oh, wow.
Did not know that.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
LA
Times is going to do a big expose on it any day now.
Because
they do hard reporting. So that story's coming soon.
Oh, boy.
Fucking bought and paid for fucking pussies who aren't even journalists. Jesus Christ. Yes, because no one knows the story because it's not going to be reported on CNN, LA Times, New York Times. It's not going to be pushed out there.
Well, and here we have something. New York Post, Jennifer Siebel Newsom asked Harvey Weinstein for sex scandal advice 2 years after alleged rape.
Wait, you say it's LA Times?
No, it's a
newspaper on a coast away, LA Times. Do some fucking reporting, would you fucking bought and paid for shills?
And
Jesus Christ.
Also, you know who else?
And by the way, anyone who doesn't know everything, that's because you go to the same outlets for everything all the time. That's why nobody knows anything. I read the Times. I read the New York Times. I listen to CNN online. Yeah, they don't report any of this shit. That's why you don't know any of this shit. That's why you assholes didn't know anything about COVID the whole time. Because you get your news from one spot. Thank you.
Diversify your portfolio.
Diversify.
You know who else is not a fan of Jennifer Siebel Newsom? Remember when Rose McGowan had thoughts about that?
Yes.
Trying to hush her up. And I think she's like in Mexico now.
She's somewhere.
Yeah.
What was this story? And like how long? I don't know if she was married to Newsom at that time.
Or was it Guilfoyle at the time?
Yeah.
That story's insane.
Oh,
that's an insane story. What was this story? Well, you can look for it.
Sorry,
anyway.
It takes quite the person to go to the Harvey Weinstein trial and make anyone say anything other than, well, that guy's a fuckhead.
Yes, you're right.
It takes a lot for us to go like, oh, man.
When we talk about caricatures, and it, obviously this spans political anything, so it doesn't matter what side you're on.
Sure.
Is there any more villainous caricature power couple than Newsom and Kimberly Guilfoyle?
Man.
My God.
Yeah. Both sides of the aisle.
It just gets greasier than that.
Feels slimy, and that's just not talking about the hair product.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
You just want to read the article?
Yeah.
Okay.
When is it from?
That headline we just read was from yesterday.
Oh, wow.
I'd heard about it before yesterday, obviously, but go ahead.
All right. Jennifer Siebel Newsom, the wife of Gavin Newsom, sobbed as she described Harvey Weinstein's distorted and, quote, fish-like genitals during her bombshell testimony.
Oh, yeah.
Fish-like.
That's the only thing I want out of this whole trial. Well, A, I want Harvey to suffer. Yeah. B, I need the artist rendering of the genitals, because I've heard so many people describe this thing. It sounds like the alien popping out of the chest. Yes. It sounds
fish-like.
Weird.
Fish-like.
Yeah, fish-like.
Flaccid-y?
I don't.
It's got gills?
The problem with using
it sings
fish
under the sea? I don't know what's happening.
Is a description is, you know, you got cod, you got sea bass, you got flounder,
crustaceans.
You got sturgeon.
Sure.
I mean, I could keep going.
Hammerhead.
Walleye.
Yeah. Salmon.
And then there's all anemones and the squid.
Mollusks. Crustacean.
What? You got to narrow it down,
Thank
baby.
A lot under that water.
Yes. Sorry.
So, yes, fish-like genitals. During
you
got to
pick a fruit. You got to pick a fruit. That's the only cock references there are. You know, banana, pear. I got it. I need a fruit. All right, sorry, go ahead.
During her bombshell testimony at the disgraced movie producer's sexual assault trial on Monday, identified in the court as Jane Doe 4, Siebel Newsom broke down in tears recounting how Weinstein allegedly raped her in 2005 at the Peninsula Hotel in Beverly Hills. Quote, "I'm standing. I'm resisting," she said. "Horror. I'm trembling. This is my worst nightmare. I'm just this blow-up doll that he's just trying to masturbate off of." When asked by Deputy District Attorney Marlene Martinez to describe Weinstein's physique, Newsom said, "Lots of bruises, markings, yellow and green, lots of stretch marks on his belly. Very not physically fit at all. Looked uncircumcised.
It's humiliating.
And strange, though, kind of fish-like. The penis, something was distorted in the testicles. Lots of skin down there."
You're getting hot, Gina.
This is fucking brutal.
Wow.
Siebel Newsom, a former actress. And then they go on about her, and that's pretty much it.
No.
Oh, let's see. Oh, Siebel agreed to meet Weinstein in his hotel suite to discuss a film project, and because, quote, "he could make or ruin your career." Once they were alone in the room, however, Siebel Newsom said Weinstein changed out of his suit into a robe, then started to manipulate and threaten her while mentioning several actresses' names. She said Weinstein penetrated her private parts with his fingers and then his, quote, "deformed penis."
Christ.
This is so hard here.
It stinks to laugh, but at the same time, my God.
Well,
I'm going to talk to my kids. Like, you want to get into show business? Yeah. Let me explain to you what it really is. Just read this story. That is show business. Is this a profession you want to enter? Sorry, keep going.
Siebel Newsom tearfully said, "he knows this is not normal. He knows this is not consent." Adding, "at first, Weinstein couldn't get an erection. And then he puts on part of his penis inside of me because he pushes me back against the bed," she said. "It's not staying in because his penis is so weird and messed up."
God, this is your worst night. This is worse than any rapist cellmate or solitary confinement. They should free him right now. You have suffered
really bad
enough.
As much as I may disagree with certain policies and how and. Man, this is good though.
Yeah,
good on her for this part.
Yeah,
this part is great.
And whenever you're trying to stuff your dick like you're trying to put a sleeping bag back into the pouch, that's sexually. It's time to stop.
Yeah,
take a breather, get some Gatorade.
Tap out.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
It's not happening tonight.
Viagra.
Yes. Sorry. Go ahead.
His penis is so weird and messed up. He realizes this. "I was just worried I was going to get some disease. It was so gross." Siebel Newsom said she was frozen in fear, but put her hand on Weinstein's penis to, quote, "try to make him stop." "Oh, I just made some noises to get him to ejaculate faster," Siebel Newsom said. "Just like pleasure noises." After Weinstein ejaculated, Siebel Newsom said she was speechless. "I just wanted to get the fuck out of there," she said in tears. Pardon my language. When asked by Martinez why she continued to correspond via email with Weinstein even after the alleged rape, Siebel Newsom said she felt what happened was a, quote, one-off thing, and that Weinstein had gotten married. "I tried to put what happened into a box."
A one-off thing?
Yeah.
Is that how rape works?
You're just jogging in Central Park and a guy comes out of a shrub and rapes you, and then you correspond with the email because he got it out of his system. It's a one-offer. Yeah, he was powerful and had something she still wanted.
Quote, "I tried to put what happened into a box, even though it came out at times," she said. "And my sadness and fear changed."
Sounds like the encounter.
"And my sadness and fear changed at times into anger." Siebel Newsom was also asked about an email she sent to Weinstein in 2007 in which she sought his advice when Newsom was mayor of San Francisco.
There it is.
In a prior ruling, Judge Lisa Lynch granted prosecutors permission to use the email, which mentioned an affair Newsom had in 2005 with an aide.
Oh, it's fucking one of his partner's wives. Interesting. Good cool. dude, though. You know, want him in charge of policy.
Oh, boy.
And I guess when he was talking about freedom in California and freedom to love, I guess he was talking about fucking underlings.
Yeah.
Huh.
He's talking about his own office.
I thought he was talking about gay marriage, but yeah. All right.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
He's talking about the staff.
Okay.
Man. Quote, I believe that Harvey Weinstein had relationships with the press and understood how to handle the press and thought he could be helpful, Siebel Newsom said when she was asked about the email on Monday. During a 15-minute cross-examination, defense attorney Mark Worksman hammered Siebel Newsom about a $500 campaign contribution Weinstein made to her husband's campaign. Siebel Newsom said her husband's staff had asked for the donation at her suggestion, but that the money was returned after the Me Too movement. Quote, when did you tell Gavin Newsom about his allegation of sexual assault? Workman asked. I told him that Harvey was sketchy at different times, and he picked up on it himself when we met him, she replied. During his opening statement, Workman made a dig at Siebel Newsom, saying, today she is the wife of Governor Newsom. She's the first partner of California. She's made herself a prominent victim in the Me Too movement. Otherwise, she'd just be another bimbo who slept with Harvey Weinstein to get ahead in Hollywood.
Wow.
Wow.
This guy's going for the jugular, man.
Well, he was the same. Harvey's own attorney was the one that was like, look at him. He's not George Clooney. He knows what he looks like. His own attorney.
He needs that. You know the sign Quincy Jones put in front of the recording studio for We Are the World? Like, check your ego at the door.
Yeah.
That should have been in front of that courthouse. Like, Harvey?
Yeah.
I know you got a big ego, but you're going to have to check it because we're going to get into some shit about your dick looking like a squid and weird and
you want out of this
blotchy
or
blotchy and he disrobed
it's
and he
get
had
a lot
weird
worse
yellow marks on him stuff and then his own guys look at it. Look at this guy's built like a fucking beanbag chair. Who would want to fuck him?
And forgive me if I'm wrong. Isn't this like the second trial? Isn't this like the
yes? This is the L.A. trial,
right? But like, so the New York one already happened.
Oh, he's not getting it. He's not getting out.
So it's like if you're Harvey, don't you just say how do we not let this even happen?
Yeah.
Like what? Because what's the point? I'm never getting out.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't.
Oh, he doesn't have a choice.
Oh, okay.
They brought him from New York here. Well, because if you're a DA. You want big, high-profile cases on your on your brag sheet because you got to run for something.
And it's talking about a layup, too.
Right.
It's
like,
yeah, so we're going to fly him back to L.A. and we'll try him in L.A. and then they'll get those W's on their record. Mm-hmm.
Horrible.
And again, it must just be, I don't know if it's a personality disorder or what, but if all that happened and she just could have said it like a calm adult, then... Sure, but if she's flailing around and acting sort of maniacal, I don't get how that helps.
It's got to be such a weird debate in her head where it's like, yes, she has to give the testimony of the worst moment of her life, and that's got to be gut-wrenching and heartbreaking, and my heart goes out to her for that. But at the same time, she's a first partner. She's got political affiliation, so it's like, all right, every answer she gives has to – also enhance the campaign and the office and the couple and everything. Like,
well, so far she did him dirtier than all the other victims. Yeah.
But also,
combined.
You
well
just
done.
See how scuzzy all politics are.
It knows no political affiliation.
Ari Shaffir has entered.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
Good to see you. Brad, are you part of the show?
Today I am.
Okay.
I am in charge.
The sheets in front of you like you're like a regular.
Yeah. I'm in charge of sound effects.
Good to see you.
Oh, that's cool.
So, Ari, you're 45 minutes late. So
That's my fault.
Oh, I get it. So,
traffic. It's a different place to place.
We will do 15 minutes and we'll suspend the rest of the news and we'll talk to Ari Shaffir.
Fuck the news.
Who's here?
Yeah.
Ari.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
It's got a new comedy special out and it's called Jew and you can watch the full special on YouTube. It premiered a couple of weeks ago.
It's great. It's hilarious. Very informative.
Thanks.
As a Jew, very informative.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's even better. Yeah.
Well, you grew up in a pretty Jewish household, right?
Yeah, pretty Jewish.
Yeah. Conservative, yes.
Orthodox.
No, Orthodox.
Orthodox.
I grew up conservative. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Raised in a conservative Jewish household, but I don't think they meant conservative like
that. I think they meant like no hookers.
Right.
Ari, you taught me what the Shabbos Goyim was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You could be one. You just got to turn on lights for people. Yeah. They'll hit strongly.
I mean, as long as the light switch is pretty low. I mean, if it's high, that's going to be...
Did you have a Shabbos Goyim?
No, we didn't have one. We just like made sure we did tape like sheets over the light switches so you don't fuck up and turn it on.
Oh, really?
Muscle memory.
Yeah. Was
it? But if it's like you left the stove on, you'd have to like talk to your neighbors for the first time ever.
I love the notion of the Sabbath, for instance.
In what
way? I think it's good for us.
Take a break.
Yeah, just a forced break. Like people who practice these things, even though they don't, it's inconvenience or modern day or everything's. You know, I grew up in the San Fernando Valley. I'm old. Shit was closed on Sunday.
Yeah.
Shit was closed on Sunday. That was your Sabbath. Like, you may have wanted to go shopping and buy toys or whatever the temptation was on a Sunday. Shit's closed.
Couldn't do it.
You couldn't do it. And so you were then forced to go out and, like, play a pickup game of basketball or something.
That's exactly what we do.
Yes.
Yeah. Play basketball. Play non-electricity related things. And also now with, like, social media, you could use a day off.
Oh, for
yes.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Kanye West could use one day
off. One day off.
Hours.
Just Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
So Ari, so do you look at this special titled Jew, which is available on YouTube? So when all the Kanye, Kyrie stuff is happening, are you just like, sweet, this is going to help me?
Dave Chappelle.
I haven't seen that one yet, but I assume it's great. No, I was sort of saying sweet, but also I could see a world where they go so far the other way that they go, nah, we're taking down anything even remotely that's possibly anti-Semitic.
Playfully anti-Semitic.
Yeah. You know when they go hard on, like, we're not allowing anything. They go too far. I was a little worried about it.
It's got to be a bad look, though, to where it's like, hey, we're fighting anti-Semitism, so we're taking down Ari Shaffir's comedy special.
You see that black chef? He made, like, a pancake mix, and he put himself on the cover with a chef hat, and that Facebook was like, racist, take it off.
Oh, really?
He's like, it's me, it's my company. Like, no way, that's racism.
I didn't see that. Yes, the worst society, when society announces we have zero tolerance for X, Y, and Z, they always fuck it up.
Yeah, it's crazy how intolerance can be a bad thing.
Yes, but they have zero tolerance for intolerance. And it's sort of like when you announce there's a gun-free zone. That's great, except for the dudes with the guns know it's a gun-free zone.
Don't tell them that.
They show up with guns.
Yeah.
You're like, thank you.
Yeah. I don't know why I was thinking about crime, but I was watching some footage of some poor 12-year-old girl, these guys. Crime's getting brazen. Mm. Now, it used to be second-story men and safe crackers and pickpockets. Oh, my God, do I miss a pickpocket? Do you even know you're robbed until after the check comes at the meal? You know what I mean?
My necklace!
This was a couple of guys on a scooter just riding down a sidewalk in New York, like on a Vespa. Mm. And if they would pass anyone with a necklace, they would just grab it.
And keep going?
And we're now at the point, where we need breakaway necklaces because they grab this 12-year-old girl's necklace, and they were just dragging her down the sidewalk. We need necklaces that are not too hardy because you will get dragged around.
We all wear suicide vests, and so if you start to get robbed, you take the guy out with you.
I rarely hear Jews actually exalt the virtues of a suicide vest.
I'm an outsider, Adam.
out of the box.
I try to think. It would slow down. A couple suicide bombings on a would slow down thieves.
Yes, this was up there with my airbag in the steering wheel of the automobile, which is, I thought people are getting a little fast and loose with their driving. They're texting, they're looking at other stuff, they're completely checked out.
Yeah.
Because we're surrounded in crumple zones and airbags, and there's so much no one dies in a car wreck anymore. You used to have to really pay attention, otherwise you would die. The dashboard was made of steel. You had no head. You had no shoulder harness.
You had no seatbelt.
Your head would just whip forward and smack the dashboard. And your head, remember, like, went through the windshield.
Yeah.
Like a lot of guys going through the windshield.
That's why I said you had to wear a fucking seatbelt because you could attack someone else.
I said if you took every, like, 70,000th wheel airbag and you just filled it with moose jizz, That would keep people on the straight and narrow, just thinking there's an off chance that could go full moose bukkake if I even tap the car
now
in front
I'm
of me.
Now I'm dead and covered in moose cum.
No, that's, you'd be. You'd oh, be yeah, I haven't worked that part
that's
out.
That's how they're going to find you. Yeah.
He's just drowning moose.
He died doing what he loved.
Sucking off moose.
How's the world treating you, Ari? You've said a lot of controversial things.
You know, I like to stir the pot.
In the past. And then everyone jumps on you. But then at a certain point, you become like Dave Chappelle smoking, which is none of us could show up to SNL and light a cigarette and walk out on stage.
He just lights up and we're like, we're not allowed to smoke here. And he's like, I am. Like, yeah, you are.
He knows it.
But like Snoop Dogg did with weed, he's done with cigarettes.
Mm-hmm. South Park's done with...
Yeah, maybe you're doing that with controversial statements.
Like, I think at some point you'll find new people that don't know me yet. They're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You're like, sweet. I still have people left to attack.
Yeah. To are you off. Finding people are buying tickets to see you just because they're like, well, Herb, we should go see a comedy show tonight. And then they're in the front row and you say something.
It's going to be a problem with this Jew stuff where I'm talking about Judaism for an hour and a half. You're going to show up to my next hour and it's just about sucking off mooses. And then I'll be like, well, this isn't what I expected at all.
So you're going around like kind of like the whole Bob Saget thing where it's like, oh, he's America's dad. And he just has the grossest
dirtiest
jokes.
I had two different old couples leaving my shows in Chicago and said to the management, it's not enough that he's saying that school shootings are a good thing. It's that everyone else is laughing about it.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, I'm not doing this to piss you off, but it's a nice extra
there,
detail.
There are sometimes when you have a heckler or someone who just leaves, but then you find out why and you're like, good.
Yeah, right.
I'm totally fine with that. Yeah. I'm not for you.
You weren't supposed to be here.
Yeah. I don't know what conversations they had where they thought a comedy club is a good idea for them to be at when they're obviously not good at sitting there and listening to someone else talk for a while.
I'm easily offended, but I feel that way
when I see Rotten Tomatoes score and No Country for Old Men gets 89%, and that meant 11% of the critics went, what is this?
That's not how a bowling alley is.
That's not for me.
Yeah.
You did know what this was, wasn't this a good version of what you thought it was going to be?
Yeah, or something like Dark Side of the Moon on YouTube.
Right.
And they'll be like, nah, who's disliking?
Negative comment. Yeah.
Chris, you ever find that scooter on the sidewalk pulling the 12-year-old by the necklace? I can't figure out whether they got hold of her necklace or something else. It looks like her necklace, but they were dragging her around.
Jesus. You know, we live in a time where they tell women not to wear ponytails because you could get yanked by it. As you would say, what the fuck year is this?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah. That's why the sisters wear extensions, because it breaks away like a lizard's tail when they scrap in front of the club. That's the evolution. I'm not making that up.
Yeah, that's right.
Ari will back me up.
I'll back that up.
Growing up conservative Jewish, I know a lot about Judaism. I had never heard the 160th rule in my life.
Oh, yeah. That's Orthodox. That's our screaming fire in a crowded theater. We all knew it. It never came up.
What's the 160th?
It's ridiculous.
If you get a small piece of unkosher, ham or bacon or whatever, in some kosher soup, it's like how much it makes it non-kosher. If it's like one speck, it's... The number is 160th.
There's a number. So if it's 160th, you can
eat it. So it's 130th, you're going to purgatory.
You're not eating that. You got to chuck it.
But it does make me realize why all you guys became accountants. Because between the Shabbos Goyim and the 160th, you're constantly trying to work around the code.
That's how the act is.
It's all loopholes.
It's all loopholes.
So that's where
perfect base for accounting, right? The government wants this.
Wait, who'd you eat with? Was that a work friend?
Yeah.
Oh.
Your cat's a deduction. Did you talk about him on the podcast?
Yeah, did you mention one thing?
We have the...
of course, New York. Bringing it. Still bringing it.
Yeah, so this is Queens. Two men are suspected in at least seven necklace snatchings, including one caught on video in Queens showing them dragging a 12-year-old girl. Jesus. Police say the girl is walking home from school on Layton Street, and when the video shows two men riding on a moped drive up next to her on the sidewalk. In the video, one of the men can be seen grabbing a necklace from her neck. The driver of the moped hits the gas, and they drag her several feet.
That's great.
Whoa.
Yeah, we'll find it. They'll find the clip, but... Necklace did not release. Did not release.
Faulty necklace.
Ooh, we need two things, because then Chris Redd got his chain snatched, but it broke apart.
Wait, Chris Redd got his chain snatched when the guy beat, smashed him in the face?
He punched him and snatched his chain, I think.
That's what the witnesses said.
And then the chain broke apart, so now there's nothing to steal.
It was just a robbery? Oh, here it is.
Oh, my God. Being dragged by this vest.
Oh, and he crashed. Good.
Thing, and first off, I'm no jeweler, back to the Jews, but let it go. How valuable
is a
12-year-old have living, you know, walking home
unless
from
it's like DJ Khaled's kid.
Yeah.
Like that's
she's not in Queens.
No.
Also,
no,
don't ride on the sidewalk. It's very unsafe.
That's right.
What would that chain be? What would resale on?
What's the average price of anything at Claire's?
Yeah.
$17, probably.
Yeah.
Also, you got to have the wherewithal to, like, when it doesn't break, go, nope, not this one.
Yeah, that's not your guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've crashed your Vespa. You're still trying. It's like, get out of there.
Yeah. No.
Remember heat? You got to walk away.
Yeah. At certain point, there's force majeure, divine intervention.
Right.
Like, by the way, this young girl may cure cancer. Yeah. You know, let her breathe. You know, obviously, today's not our day.
Yeah. It's not Beshert for you.
Not Beshert.
That's very nice.
Yeah. Wait, how Jewish are you now, Ari?
Zip, dude.
Just zero.
Yeah. I'll only fuck black hookers.
I. More Asians for me.
Okay.
I love the Jews. I've always loved the Jews. It was a very simple model for me. My family is a bunch of white trash goyim. But I had a Jewish grandfather from Hungary, Laszlo Gorog.
Married in,
and he took care of business. He cooked for people. He would take a sweater, you know what I mean? He made me lunch and would bring it to me on a tray, like when I was watching TV. He would tell me stories, like bedtime stories and stuff. He was a regular, normal, loving guy, and I was like, this is the only Jew I've ever met, and I'm living in North Hollywood with a bunch of idiots, but this guy, he's making me dinner. He's taking care of me. He's a good man. And then I met other Jews at North Hollywood High, but they were the ones who grew up in the Hebrew Heights and came down the hill and went to North Hollywood High. The Jeff Bucks and the Nate Wittenbergs and the Robbie Levines of the world. And Alex Arado, and they all went off to like Stanford and Berkeley and became lawyers and like successful. And then my white trash friends, we all just stayed in the valley and worked on construction sites. And I was like, there's a difference between these people. And I think these people are better. And I know other people want to get a Molotov cocktail and burn down their house. I would like to befriend them and see if they can help me get a job one day.
They all have the business sense, but some of them are like, get their hands dirty. And then you get the you know, and here it's like you get the Weinstein type Jews,
right?
That are like, it's like that's what they're all talking about.
But what
nobody minds the get their hands dirty Jew
is the hatred of Jews or the periodic hatred of Jews seems to be based in envy. And here's an interesting I have a thought for the Jews in the room and Brad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like Brad is a quarter Jewish, which is half Jewish to regular sized people. I don't know if people know that. His mother is actually. So now here's a thought, and everyone weigh in.
Okay.
I've written about it in my first book. I've complained about this a long time. When I was young, there were people who were successful. Those people who were successful, you looked up to them. You went, that guy's doing something right. You one day, little Johnny, you too, if you work hard, will have a big Mercedes Benz and live on the hill in the big house or whatever. We've entered a whole new era where we go, you know, Rick Caruso, billionaire Rick Caruso, developer, you know, and running for mayor. It's like, it's a pejorative now to be successful.
That's
and
wild.
We had a choice about 15 years ago in this country. You could go the success route and you could mirror it. You could go family, education, hard work, Or you could go what everyone's been peddling politically over the last 20 years is disgruntled. You guys aren't getting ahead because someone else is holding you back. I never thought that growing up. I wasn't getting ahead because I wasn't working hard enough. I should emulate the people who were successful. But politicians figured out that the unsuccessful people, it was much easier and it's much, and they're much lazier. Just pitch it to them that we live in a society. We're not an even playing field. We've talked about politicians get up there and do nothing but talk about equity and inequity and social injustice and what it's all over the place. Well, how long before the people that aren't doing very well would look at the people who are doing well and go, fuck that guy?
Yeah.
And aren't we fostering it now? I mean, you can blame Kanye, but we're fostering this whole...
Scapegoating?
Yes. Attack the people that are successful.
That's what they did the Holocaust.
That are doing it.
It was the politicians of the Holocaust. They were like, hey, we just need an other. Who's going to be the other? Like, Jews, you'll do nicely. They're the reasons we're fucking... It's not because of the war and World War One. It's not because of that. It's like, it's the Jews.
Yes.
Yeah. How long till they just go after everyone? They hate Elon Musk, who made an electric car.
Right.
He did everything they wanted for the environment.
Right. But if you're a politician, like if you're Michelle Obama and you're out there just blathering about inequity and we live in a racist society and blah, blah, blah. Well, how long before people of the race that's being stepped upon is going to go look at the people and blathering about, well, you didn't build that business yourself. That wasn't you. You know, you needed the government. How long before those people are going to go, yeah, fuck those guys who have a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Let's go after them. And then the same politicians go, there's no room for hate. There's nobody can hate here. We're no tolerance for hate. Well, then shut up.
Yeah, but.
Stop driving everyone apart then if you don't want hate.
I love it. Yeah, I love when the politicians will say things like, it's the people in power that are keeping you down. It's like, you are a politician.
Yeah, you.
Right, thank you.
That's you.
I saw a politician go on stage at the Cellar, and he was talking about how, he was talking about, it was after he was done, but they put him on. He was talking about how they need pharmaceuticals cost too much, and it's like, when are they going to change? And I followed him, and I was like, you.
Yeah.
We never had control over it.
No.
You were right there. You went into the office with them.
That's what, when Gavin Newsom, like, came to L.A. and stood on a pile of trash because they were, like, robbing trains, running in and pulling FedEx boxes off train. And he's like, what's going on around here?
Somebody needs to answer for this.
That's my...
Who's in charge here? Oh, wait, me.
Oh shit. Yeah, man.
Oh, shit. Ari, when it comes to your special, I got to ask because...
Available on YouTube right now.
Yes, we're seeing more comedians do this. It's sort of like they're self-financing.
Stand-up comedy? I'd like to see more of it.
Self-producing?
Yeah.
But how'd you decide to go the YouTube route?
Is where you get the most views.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My last special I put on Netflix, and it was like a better time for Netflix back then.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, I don't know, the reach has gone down.
Not as much. You can reach more people on YouTube.
Yeah, by a lot.
So, you know, with Showtime, it was HBO. It was
HBO for a while.
Netflix and whatever. And Comedy Central. And so has Netflix sort of had its run with stand-up?
It's still a good platform, but yeah, it's not the heyday anymore.
And
it's gone downhill a lot. A lot of them just come and go. You don't even know. Like my friends, I'm like, wait, you were on that? When was that? They're like, 6 months ago. I'm like, I didn't even hear about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't focus on the stand-up anymore. It doesn't come up as like, there's a new stand-up special. Mm-hmm. Just don't even get notified.
So they're starting to carve their audience out, and it's a lot of scripted and then unscripted stuff, but not so much stand-up. They're maybe drifting away from stand-up?
This is anecdotal. Seems to be a lot of docuseries.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of their thing right now.
It used to be documentaries was
now,
a big thing.
Now it's bingey things, docuseries that you can have seven episodes of.
Right, exactly. Netflix has this thing of like not putting money into their fucking series.
Mm.
It's just done shittily.
So YouTube initially was a place you'd go because Netflix didn't want you. It seems initially.
Yeah.
And then it turned into its own thing. And then now
it's also the only platform that does not censor their comedians.
Mm-hmm.
They have a in their algorithm, whatever they go, like, you know, the stuff that say, you can't say that on this, you can't say that on this platform. They go, oh no, that guy's on a stage. So that's allowed.
So wow. They're smart.
Yeah, they really are creating. Smart about it.
Are you listening, white supremacist? That's all you got to do. Put a brick wall behind you, have a microphone, right. Say you're at the Chuckle Hut.
But they understand.
And then you're good.
Yeah, I was on stage with me and Jay went to, Big Jay went to Miami, and afterwards he's trying to get laid. And this girl was like, we liked you, but that other guy was an asshole. And he was like, what do you mean? That's my friend. She goes, he was happy his schools get shot up. And he goes, oh, no. And Miami's full of literal idiots, you know? And he goes, no, he doesn't really feel that way. She goes, he literally said he's happy when schools get shot.
Oh,
and then Jay was like, let's just have sex. Like I'm not get through to you. But like, that's Miami. And these Netflix, HBO, comedy, they've kowtowed to the Miamis of the world.
Right.
Can't understand, like, yeah, I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
I meant the opposite of what I'm saying.
The joke of what I'm doing, pointing out the absurdity of how horrible it is by saying
I like
it.
And they do get it. Yeah. They're just worried about some of their fans not getting it.
Well, the people in Des Moines don't understand that
This is scary because this makes it sound like if we're skipping over everything that makes modern comedy, are we going to go back to fucking vaudeville and spinning bow ties?
Yeah, take
and things
my wife.
That are so literal? Yeah.
It's lame.
Yeah.
Anyway, focus on the positives. YouTube is not doing that, so it's a great place for like real stand-up.
And you finance this yourself?
Uh-huh. Financed. That's a good way to put it. Paid for it, yeah.
Who lit all those candles?
Yeah.
Lauren Alpert. Jews don't pay for stuff.
it's like
you
built a
black
deck.
People to
like,
finance.
You got Mexicans.
See, I'm envious of you not being married because this conversation with my wife would not go well.
Exactly. I spent close to half my money on this.
Wow.
And people are like, I'm like, well, dog food is way cheaper than child food.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I could do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever I talk to you, you're like, I'll see you at the Comedy Store. I'm like, oh, hey, Ari, haven't seen you around for a bit. Where have you been? He's like, oh, I've been motorcycling around Machu Picchu or whatever the heck you're doing.
Machu Picchu is exactly right.
You're always on a trip or a trek or doing something.
Yeah.
And
yes, they're – single people can do fun things.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's
so
crazy.
Jealous.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to have responsibility.
Oh, you have no kids either.
Yeah.
Okay.
Couple in heaven. Thank you, former laws, for giving me my freedom.
So,
and I do think it's murder, and I avail myself of that right. All respect to the fallen. Yeah,
I was talking to Harlan Williams about this. I was thinking of Jeff Ross and Sarah Silverman, Harlan Williams, Doug Benson, like guys like you, like combined age 7,000, zero kids.
Yeah.
And there's no and
Jeff is 40% of that.
And
yeah.
I said that it is insanely rare that you would meet someone in their 40s or late 40s, 50s, and just go, no kids, never had kids, mm-hmm. ever been married? Nope. Like, you'd be hard-pressed to find that person in America or
yeah.
any
when
other
we
country.
Grew up, that was like, what?
Why is it 70% of comedians? And is it because you're all self-indulgent narcissists who just want to smoke weed
that
and fucking
be.
Do what you want
yeah,
all day?
It could be. And like, don't you want to ruin that by having some dumb fuck in your house all the time?
I know.
I'm like, well, I'm not sure. Some needy child who just takes, doesn't contribute to the finances of the household in any way. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I forget about Bill Maher just because he's kind of the poster child for this group in his later 60s. But I could put together, Brad could, Ari could, a group of 25 prominent male and female comedians who were all in their late 40s, early 50s, never married, never had kids. You find guys who are divorced, you find they had a kid, and then I remarried and had a second kid. You don't find zero kids and zero marriages outside of stand-up comedians.
And you can spot them. You can spot them not sitting in their car working up the courage to go into their homes.
Yeah. That's a sign.
They just park and go right in.
That's right.
Start playing Xbox. There.
When you case your own home.
Yeah.
Like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Because I know who these people are because these are the people that when I get home from a show on the road, I text them with no thought of like, oh, I could be interrupting something.
Uh-huh.
They could have somewhere to go. Like, no, I know my married friends, they're like, okay, can't text after 10 because then the wife's going to get mad at them.
Joey Diaz called me once. It was like 4:30 in the morning. He was playing Gears of War like heavily. And he called me. I was like, hello? And he just started laughing. I was like, what are you laughing at? I was like, I didn't. I mean, there's literally no one else that would be up. This is pre-wake up, post-sleep.
Yeah.
Right.
And it wasn't even a thought, like, Ari will probably be up. And I was.
And were you eating, like, Gino's pizza rolls?
Yeah, probably a lot, filling up on gummy bears.
Nice.
Yeah. Having a full gummy bear meal.
It's a good life.
Yeah. Tostinos really gets you by.
Yeah.
You're getting fat. Oh, well.
Yeah, who's going to complain?
It's on me.
Yeah, to impress who?
Yeah. You said so far you're snoring. Like, no one will hear it. It's like a tree in the woods. A snore for
like
a single
when you
person.
Scream in outer space.
That's right.
All right. Ari Shaffir's Better Late Than Never is the name of the special.
Sorry.
Shoo. Well, you know what, Ari? I think we should just have you come back and sit in and you know, do a long extended dance version of this. Shoo is the name of the special. It's available on YouTube, and he's got dates coming up. Hyenas Comedy Club, that's coming up December 1st through the 3rd, and you can go to arishaffir.com for the live shows. You can also check out Alex Josky's books, Spies and Lies, and Brad Williams. Show's coming up at the Brea Improv this Friday through Sunday, and then also more dates, bradwilliamscomedy.com. Me in Tucson at the Rialto Theater coming up on December 16th. No, 15th.
Calm down, everybody.
Yeah, and then we'll do some shows at the Tempe Improv as well. Just go to amcurl.com for all the live stuff. And until next time, it's Am for Alex and Brad and Ari and Gina.
Thanks,
saying.
Guys.
What do I do?
Mahalo.
Make sure you get a copy of Adam's new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's available everywhere. Finer books are sold. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And get your tickets to see Adam Carolla at adamcarolla.com.
Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.